Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. If you flick back in your Bibles, you'll see this comes straight after the Sermon on the Mount, perhaps the greatest sermon ever preached. And at the end of chapter 7, we're told that the crowds were amazed at Jesus' teaching. But Jesus wasn't all talk. Chapters 8 and 9 show that Jesus is far more than that. He taught with authority and he acted with authority and power to heal and free and restore. And Jesus' power to heal is evident here, isn't it? Clearly, but so is his compassion. Leprosy, as it's mentioned in the Bible, actually refers to a whole range of different skin diseases. But the implication, whatever the disease was the same. You were excluded from society, you were unclean, and you were left untouched. We've had our grandchildren staying with us for the last 2 or 3 days, and they're in their very huggy phase. They want to come and hug their grandparents. It's fabulous. If you had leprosy or one of these skin diseases, no one would touch you. No more hugs from your parents or children or grandchildren, left alone. The possibility of being healed was about the same as being raised from the dead, virtually unheard of. And there were, of course, some cases in the Old Testament, but they were a long, long time before. So this man comes. He had heard of Jesus, maybe from the previous miracles Jesus had been working earlier in Matthew's gospel. And maybe he'd been on the edge of the crowd as Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. And having heard him teach with such authority, imagine that there must be more to him than just words. Either way, he comes, and he comes humbly, but with great hope and confidence. We see his humility in verse 2, don't we, as he kneels before Jesus. It's a worshipful way of coming to Jesus, a worshipful posture. He has no reason to expect anything from Jesus. No one else would have given him the time of day, but he comes and he kneels before him humbly. Then he calls him Lord. In Matthew's gospel, when the word Lord is used, it's an acknowledgement of Jesus' divinity. There is something unique about him. This is God come to earth. And Jesus' power gets acknowledged here too, doesn't it? We see that in the man's words. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Humility. If you are willing, he doesn't come demanding, doesn't say I deserve it, he just asks, but it's a confident request. If you are willing, you can make me clean. This is the man who has sought out Jesus because he knows that he can heal him if he so chooses. And then three remarkable things happen. Jesus says he is willing, he touches the man, and then he heals him. We'll do those in reverse order. The healing, well, that doesn't surprise us, does it? Actually, we've read the Gospels lots of times. We know this is the kind of thing Jesus does. He calms storms, makes blind people see, makes lame people walk. Even the dead rise. Leprosy, oh, that's easy. No problem there. But by thinking that, we lose the shock of this. Leprosy was the ancient equivalent of AIDS. For all our advances in modern medicine, there is still no cure. There are drugs to slow it down and mitigate the effects, but there's no cure. Can't be cured of it once you have it. Go back 2,000 years without antibiotics or chemotherapy, the situation was utterly hopeless. Yet Jesus cures the man instantly with just a touch. That is our God. That is our Saviour. That is Jesus. Here's my first question for you. Do you believe he can do that today? Do you believe he can heal today? The man comes to Jesus with a request because he believes Jesus has power to do that. What about you? If there is no possibility of God answering our prayers, then we won't bother asking, will we? But if we don't ask, the Bible says, we won't receive. So how strong is your faith? How confident are you in God's unchanging power? And if you aren't sure, can I ask you to consider why that is? What causes you to doubt? Is it because you don't really know him? If so, that can be remedied easily enough. He's revealed himself to us in Jesus and through his word, the Bible, and by his Spirit, he applies it to our hearts today. Seek him there. Commit yourself this coming year to get stuck into God's word. and to let God's word fill you. Seek him there, seek him in prayer, and you will know that God's power hasn't diminished one iota. But maybe that isn't the reason you don't pray. Maybe it's because you don't trust him. After all, Jesus could be powerful, but not kind. Well, we see that isn't true as well, don't we, as Jesus touches the man. He touches him. This is a man who's unlikely to have been touched for years, at least not by anyone who didn't also have leprosy. And yet here is Jesus reaching out and touching him. It is astonishing kindness. Jesus didn't need to touch him. We'll read in the next section how Jesus heals someone by speaking a word to a man who wasn't even there. So he doesn't need to touch. The touch was unnecessary. But imagine being that man, having been cut off, excluded, rejected for years and years. He comes to Jesus. He wants to be healed. But that's just the start, isn't it? He wants to be included again. He wants to be welcomed again. He wants to be touched and hugged and kissed again. He wants to go home again. The manner of Jesus is so beautiful and kind because it shows the man that healing isn't just physical. This healing is going to affect everything about his life. That's the reason Jesus sends him off to the priests, by the way. The book of Leviticus laid out special regulations for welcoming back into society someone who had a dreaded skin disease, but it had been cured. And Jesus didn't want the man forgetting what the law said or missing out on the full benefits of being included again back in society, in the worshiping community, simply because he was so excited about having been healed. Jesus would get the praise and the honour as the man explained everything to the priests, but there was a right way to do things, and Jesus commanded that to happen first. That touch of Jesus was the first sign of that his physical healing would bring with it so many other blessings. So here's my second question. Do you believe that Jesus is kind? Do you believe that he wants to bless you? That his plans for you are for your good? If you don't, you will keep your distance from him, in good times and in bleak times. If you do think he is kind, then you will come to him when things are hard and the future looks uncertain. And even if the answer you get through your prayers is no or wait, you'll keep coming because you will trust in God's kindness, that his good purposes will be revealed in the end, even if in the meantime the road is rough. And you are facing his severe mercy rather than his gracious mercy. Friends, please don't doubt the kindness of Jesus. Don't doubt his kindness. And don't doubt his grace and mercy either. Because not only is Jesus strong and kind, but he is gracious and merciful. He was willing to make the leper clean, and he is willing to make us clean also. When it comes to physical healing, we should pray for those things because God is powerful and he can heal and restore. And we should pray for those things because God is kind and his plans for us are good. But we must be very careful not to presume that God will answer every prayer in the way that we would like at that moment. Not every prayer for relief or healing or rescue in this life will be answered with a resounding yes. God's plans for us are on a far greater scale. Far grander, far longer scale than we can imagine. One day we will all be healed of all those things that ail us. But for most of us, we'll have to wait till God's eternal kingdom comes to earth to receive the physical or emotional or mental healing we desire. But because we won't know that unless we pray, let's not ignore the possibility of God's miraculous intervention in our lives now. Let's be praying that he would heal and restore physically and calm our messed up hearts as Jesus does here. But while we can't assume that God will answer our prayers for physical healing, we can be absolutely certain that he will hear and answer our prayers for spiritual healing and spiritual cleansing. When we confess our sins to God, when we acknowledge that he can cleanse us if he is willing, we can be certain of his response. It'll be the same response that he gave to the leper. I am willing. Be clean. The words from 1 John 1, verse 9. Give us that guarantee. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Faithful because God, that's what God has promised. And he is a God of his word. Just because Jesus has already paid the price of our sin. It's been dealt with on the cross. And so to refuse to forgive us would be to suggest that there is some deficiency, either in God's mercy or in Jesus' work on the cross. But there is none. There is none. One lovely hymn puts it this way. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The leper was unclean as he could get. Cut off from God and from his people, no way back, and yet Jesus, the powerful, the kind and the gracious, made him clean and healed him and brought him back into a relationship with God and his people. He did it for him. He did it for me. He does it still. He can do it for you. This time of year, it's very often we spend some time looking back over the previous year, don't we? And I wonder how that makes you feel, particularly about your walk with God. If you have regrets, well, maybe they are just a few. Or maybe they are too many or too awful to mention. Perhaps you've been willfully disobedient, and you know it. Perhaps you've been lazy or lax in your spiritual discipline, and you feel ashamed of it. Maybe you've lacked the courage of your convictions. You've kept quiet when you should have spoken up. Those things, the guilt and the shame and the fear that we feel about what's gone on in the past, cripples us for the future unless we bring them to God and ask him to make us clean. We need to own those things and repent of them and ask him to make us clean. He is willing, he is able, and he is kind. So as we gather around the Lord's table in a few moments' time and we receive those symbols of bread and wine, symbols of Jesus' death on the cross in our place, why don't you use those moments as you kneel at the rail and before and after to thank God for his kindness, to praise him for his power, and to ask for his grace that he may wash you clean and strengthen you for the year ahead. Jesus was strong and kind and gracious to the leper. If you come, he will be that way to you too. Amen.